This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. It is a fabulous Monday following a fabulous October weekend here in the Mid-Valley. This is a great place to be living and playing and working. So thanks for joining us. This is your spot every weekday at noon for local talk and local issues. We've got a great guest today. It's following a great weekend, Dave. The Beavers won and the Ducks won. And fortunately for all those Duck fans, the Huskies lost. The Huskies laid a big, fat egg against that team named after a color.
Yes, they did.
All right. Not at all important today because we're going to get right to our guest today. We have a Marion County Commissioner, Colin Willis. I should say the rookie commissioner, Colin Willis.
Right.
We last had him on in January, and actually it was, I believe, just days before he was sworn in to his new role, having been elected last year to fill a vacant seat. Colin Willis, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. We always appreciate having the county commissioners in and giving us a perspective about local and regional governance that a lot of people otherwise don't really get.
Yeah.
I mean, the mayor is pretty visible and everybody knows what the mayor does, and some people think that they know what the city council people do. But county commissioners are just a little bit more of a mystery to people. And also, they touch such a broad area of what happens to Marion County residents. So,
and there's only three, right?
That's right.
Yeah. There's only three.
Big yeah. area.
I have more meals with my fellow commissioners than my spouse, unfortunately.
What?
We see a lot of each other.
That tends to be the case. Anyway, Colin, welcome. I hope you're enjoying being a commissioner.
I am.
So yeah. We're talking just before the show, and everybody asks you this, I'm sure, but now it is October, so you've been there about 10 months.
Yep.
And how is it compared to the job you thought you were applying for when you were running your campaign?
Well, it's a much more of an executive function rather than a legislative function. So what I've come to realize is we basically run a $450 million a year public service company.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three of us who run it. And most of the way that we impact the community is through allocating resources and directing the nearly 1,700 employees to address the concerns that people deal with on a day-to-day basis. What I find very rewarding about that is it's very granular. You can really make a difference to your neighbors, your friends, individuals in your community that you see every day in a way that maybe in other elected positions you set policy, but you don't actually get to see it implemented.
So like the Roman Empire, it's kind of like ruling by triumvirate.
Wow.
Right.
A triumph.
Well, I don't know if I'd make that analogy. I'm a proud Republican, small r. I really believe
man,
in our
he really
in
went
our
back,
republic.
Jeez.
But,
all right. Sorry for
Roman
go
Empire.
Back. Yeah, there was a period of the Roman, actually prior to the Empire, when it went from a republic and they had a triumvirate of leaders.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, enough of that. But you have, of course, then you have an administrator that runs the county as per your direction.
Jan Fritz.
But
she's fabulous.
I think you said that very well. You are serving them and deciding what happens based on allocation of resources.
Yep. And like you said, we cover everything from waste management to public safety to managing a jail to building county roads. I mean, the breadth of services that we provide to the people of Marion County is just very, very big.
Colin Willis, Marion County Commissioner, is our guest in studio today. We're going to be talking about, hopefully, with so many things to talk about, health care and the county's role in selecting and working with the CCO, the Community Care Organization. You're very busy, Commissioner. I just don't know how you have time to discriminate against all those transgender people.
Well, I would never discriminate against a transgender person, and I haven't.
Well, why? I was being facetious, people, if you cannot read my tone. The news articles just makes me roll my eyes, and I'm like, and I know newspapers like to be a little bit inflammatory, catch your eye, but I'm reading it, and I know just a tiny bit about the situation. I'm trying to figure out, who was discriminated against? So if you would, please, for the listener, explain how this came up and why people are complaining, or why at least one person is complaining.
So as a Marion County commissioner, because of my position, I also sit on a number of other boards of various other organizations. And one of the boards is a mental and behavioral health, basically insurance company. And we had a situation, we were working on our budget. We have one annual meeting a year where we approve the budget. And I had read about some conferences that this organization was planning around promoting puberty blockers and other medical interventions for children who are transgender or think they may be transgender. And, you know, I have, as an elected county commissioner, I have an obligation to look out for the health and safety and well-being of the citizens of Marion County. And that's especially true when it comes to our kids. And frankly, these puberty blockers, these hormones that stop your puberty, they hurt kids. And so I suggested that, you know, we shouldn't be paying for conferences that promote this type of intervention for kids. And so I proposed a motion to not fund these conferences. It was seconded. And the vote went against us. I lost the vote. But then afterwards, one of the board members made a complaint. And it was rather a strange complaint because it was a complaint in the public. So everything that I said is public record. It's a public corporation. So there was nothing private. So everybody knew what I said. But she claimed that I discriminated against transgender people, which is not the case. In fact, in the minutes, I said I support healthcare for all individuals in Marion County, especially folks who have higher needs, like the transgender community. But these interventions hurt kids, and I don't think we should fund it.
Hold on there, Commissioner Colin Willis. Are you on record as saying you're against hurting children?
I'm on record as saying I'm against hurting children.
Okay, that's pretty controversial, yeah. But go on. Okay.
So you know, that was the complaint that was made, and, you know, I take discrimination very seriously. I earned the Civil Rights Award in law school. I would never discriminate against anybody. And the fact of the matter is, we have laws against this. And so if in fact that was the case, she could go to court right now today and win a lawsuit against me for discrimination. But she knows she can't. Everyone knows she can't. And unfortunately, I think, you know, this is a situation where you have an individual who lives in Portland and who's bringing Portland style, you know, politics and a political hit job here in Marion County. And it's a shame. It's sad. I think she owes me an apology. I think she owes Commissioner Brentano an apology. But more importantly, I think she owes the people of Marion County an apology. That's just not the way we do things around here.
All right. So I think that as a commissioner, even if, let's take the transgender thing off the table, anything that you're funding with taxpayer dollars, you have to think is for, in the best interests of Marion County and its residents and the taxpayers that are funding it. Right.
So that's right.
You're looking at funding something that potentially is harmful to what you believe is harmful to your citizens.
Yeah. And the reality is, we have limited resources. I think one of the hardest things that we have to do as a commissioner is we have all these needs of our community, and we have to decide how we're going to prioritize those needs.
I thought early on the issue was whether or not Marion County was going to host a training and, you know, we host and paying for versus going to other trainings.
Well, the issue is this gets into the CCO structure, but this structure is changing. But the organization at issue is called the Behavioral Care Network, and it's what's called a behavioral health carve out from the CCO. So the state will write a check of roughly $500 million to what's currently WVH, the Willamette Valley Community Health, which is the big CCO. And they're responsible for all the health care for the roughly 100,000 members in Marion Polk County who are on Medicaid, Oregon Health Plan. Well, under the current structure, WVH then writes a smaller check to the BCN, which only deals with behavioral health care, so mental and behavioral health care. And the members who make up BCN are Marion County and Polk County. So it's a quasi-public corporation, basically. So in a sense, Marion and Polk County do run this organization. We send some representatives to the board. Polk County sends some representatives to the board, and then we have a few lay members of the board as well.
Why is this thing persisting? I mean, why isn't it just somebody said that they were unhappy and it goes away.
Well, again, I think, unfortunately, this is an issue of people playing politics to the detriment of the folks here in Marion County. But the BCN is going away. It's going to end on December 31st because this model is going away as part of CCO 2.0. So the company itself is disappearing, and it doesn't, you know, my perspective is I don't know why we're still arguing about something that, you know, is sort of irrelevant to a to an organization that's about to disappear in 3 months.
That and inconsequential since you didn't win the vote.
Right. That's also the case.
I mean, completely, how dare you have an opinion? But let's talk about your opinion a little bit.
Well,
because certainly...
If I could, just one other thing I wanted to say is this isn't a situation where this person in particular is one of the most intolerant people I've ever seen, right? Where it seems like what what she's upset about is my opinion, right? So I do think it's important that we get back to a place where we can disagree, but I respect your right to have your opinion about public issues, and you respect my right to have my opinion about public issues. I think that's a really important principle for our whole country, and I think it's a principle that, frankly, is a value that we have here in Marion County. And so, anyway, I think we got to bring that back to our politics.
Nationwide. Yeah. We're talking to Marion County Commissioner Colin Willis, and we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about CCO, and we're going to try to filter through all those acronyms and names to what it means to you. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And it's another fun Monday here at KYKN. Thank you for joining us. I'm Brent DeHart here with Dave Borm for your Newsmakers. We are here every weekday with your local talk, sandwiched between Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. So what a privileged spot we have here on local radio. Colin Willis joins us, Marion County Commissioner. We were talking before the break about some of the discrimination complaints, although that word should not even be uttered when someone has the audacity to raise a motion at a public meeting and get shot down, and yet somehow he is a discriminator. Drives me crazy. Must drive you crazy, too, because you are the target of it. And well, I think you said it well, that it's quite possibly politically motivated, and it's also... it's also a shout down where people do not want to be tolerant of different opinions.
Right.
And in my opinion, and I'll take a couple of your minutes here, Commissioner, to say things that perhaps you don't want to say. But to me, it is an science deniers. This is one of those things where liberals are conflict because they don't want people denying the science in global warming and the urgency of climate change. But they want to deny the fact that there's Y, XY chromosomes and so forth, and that, you know, and that there is science science involving human development, psychological development, physical development, and all of these things that we should not be messing with kids. And I think, and that was the one last question before we move off of the subject, is where did you form this opinion that potentially doing gender reidentification hormones for children, and we're talking about, you know, young teens, was harmful to them?
Well, and there's a number of articles about this in various journals. I would have to get them. You know, I sort of read a bunch of them, and as I was thinking about this issue and preparing for it, but the main, I would say, concern or issue that was raised in these articles is a lot of the children who go through this type of medical intervention when they're young end up being sterile for the rest of their life, not able to have kids. And so I think that's the sort of thing where, you know, when you're 13 or 14, a lot of changes are happening in your life, like you said, both psychologically, physically, and that's not a time when you should be making permanent biological decisions that are going to affect you for the rest of your life. Because, you know, I think back to when I was 13 or 14, you know, I had lots of ideas. I thought lots of different things, you know, and some of those things I still think, and some of those things I don't think anymore. You know, I changed my mind. And I think that's a healthy thing for kids to go through. And I really feel like we need to protect that ability for kids to grow up and try new things and think different thoughts.
So. Very well said. I would add to that list things that are changing for us at 13 and 14, biologically, spiritually, I would add.
Sure.
Right? Psychologically, politically, and socially.
Absolutely.
There's so many things, and everything is so urgent and so immediate and so, you know, it swings so dramatically during those times. And, you know, our bodies and the changes that we go through kind of force that upon us a little bit. Yeah, I'd kind of like to go back and apologize for all behavior I had when I was 13.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just glad that I don't have any eighth grade teachers around. It's like, oh, Brent, you're listening to him? Let me tell you what Brent was without me. He was in eighth grade. All right, moving on. But thank you. I just want you to know there's rational people out there that are just scratching their heads. And since you've entered politics, you're going to take the slings and arrows. However, just know that there's rational people out there who's like, all right, good job for raising your question.
I appreciate that.
Good job for raising your hand. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage in this political environment in America to say anything other than all the resources go to transgender people and whatever they want goes.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah. All right. CCO. So this has been in the news in the last couple of months, the Coordinated Care Organization. Now, basically, this is an organization that it kind of runs what is the Oregon Health Plan in a region, right? The Medicaid,
right.
Oregon Health Plan. Is that right? So they're I think it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, because we're all striving to learn here, that coordinated care organization is there to help make sure the coordination of services for people who are on Medicaid.
Yeah, that's right. The way that I describe it in simple terms, the way it functions, is it functions like an Oregon health plan insurance company for Marion and Polk counties. So the way to think about it is this: we have about just over 100,000 people in Marion and Polk counties who get their health insurance through the Oregon health plan, which is our Medicaid plan. And the state, instead of providing payments directly to the providers for those services, writes about a $500 million check to what's called a coordinated care organization, or a CCO. And the CCO acts very similarly to an insurance company for those people. So the CCO is the one that actually enters into contracts with the various providers. So your OBGYN or your eye doctor or your dentist will sign a contract with the CCO. And then the CCO will pay the doctor if you go get your eyes checked or mm-hmm. get a tooth drilled or something like that.
So as the state and its the Oregon Health Plan, have they outsourced basically? This is outsourcing to a two-county CCO, a two-county organization to do their job?
Well, it's like anything the state does. They give you the money, but then they tell you how to do your job. So
regardless of what that job costs.
That's right. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. So the state, I think the big advantage for the state is that they want cost control. So the nice thing for them is they write a $500 million check and that's it. They don't give you any more money. Now it's your job to take care of all the healthcare needs for the 100,000 people that are on Oregon Health Plan in your region. And the pressure is on you and the providers to make sure that those people get the care that they need. So I think from the state's perspective, it serves a budget control function. But Oregon Health Plan rules still apply. So they tell you what's on the prioritized list. They tell you what you have to cover, what you can't cover. You know, it's not as if the insurance company has a lot of freedom to just cover or not cover whatever they want, or the CCO in this case. The state basically tells you what procedures have to be covered. Where the flexibility comes in is the CCO has flexibility in how they're going to pay for those services. And like you said, how they're going to coordinate services. So one example is, you know, everyone knows that getting your healthcare in an emergency room is a very expensive way to get healthcare, right? So one thing that a CCO can do is the various providers can come together, the hospital and the other, you know, outpatient primary care providers, and say, okay, how are we going to organize our care so that the stuff that can be treated outpatient is treated outpatient? So that way we're only paying as much as we have to make sure people get the care that they need and not treating everybody for, you know, a cut on their hand in the ER, for instance, right?
Okay, two things. One might be a little deep in the woods for you. Bud Pierce was here. Dr. Bud Pierce was here on the show a few months back, and he was critical. He was critical of the CCO in that he felt as though the state of Oregon had created a whole new level of this administrative process.
Red tape.
Right. But no additional, they didn't cut any jobs at the state level.
No,
so they basically
created
a whole nother layer of government. And you're saying it's to have cost control, but they now we're funding with our taxpayer dollars, not just the state and its Oregon Health Plan and its health department. So the health has, I mean, the state has that division. Nobody lost their job. It's still exactly the same size. But then they created this two-county organization and said, you're going to do it all. And now we're paying administration twice, and we're not trying to figure out how that gets health care to the people who are on Medicaid in an efficient manner. How does that work? Is that...
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it.
They didn't raise any revenue. They didn't cut any jobs. They just created more administration.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I think, you know, when I look at the CCO in this region, one of my biggest concerns is we have a healthcare community that's not really unified. It's rather divided right now. And so as a policymaker, my concern is for the folks who are on Oregon Health Plan, I want to make sure that they get the best healthcare possible, and we deliver it in the most efficient way, right? And what just happened was we had a CCO, coordinated care organization, with a contract with the state over the last 5 years, and then they just started CCO 2.0, and that was this last year. And so there were two applicants for CCO 2.0 for this region. And the state picked the applicant that wasn't from here.
Not the incumbent.
Pacific Source. Well, it's a little more complicated than that because the CCO that was here, basically there's a split in the board. And so some of the members of the board, you know, went to Pacific Source and said, hey, apply for CCO 2.0 here. Some of the members of the board submitted their own application. So really there's a split in the board, and the two applicants more or less resembled that split. But Pacific Source, it's true, had not ever really done business in Marion Polk counties before. They had run CCOs up in Hood River and then in Deschutes County. And so they're a new entrant into this community. Now they did have some, like I said, folks on the existing CCO board that wanted them to come in, but it's true that they hadn't done work here before. So that's a big change. And you know, the Oregon Health Plan basically made that, or sorry, the Oregon Health Authority made that decision by themselves. So this was an area where we were just watching. So people sometimes say to me, oh, what did you have to do with the CCO selection process? And the answer is nothing.
Yay.
We, you know, the state of Oregon decides, right? So, I mean, that is something where, you know, when people say, oh, it's a local organization, it's like, well, it's a local organization the state picks. It's not like the local people, you know, got to pick it. It's OHA decides. And they have an application process, and you know, it was quite extensive. But our perspective at Marion County was we're going to have to work with whoever wins this application process. And there was a time where we thought maybe both folks would win part of the application. And so we said to both folks, we want to work with you. They asked us to participate on their boards. We said to both of them that we would participate on their boards. And eventually the state picked Pacific Source to run the CCO and didn't pick the other organization. Now, the members of the other organization that had applied, they represent, I want to say, like 50,000 lives here in Marion County in terms of primary care, and people get their health care from those entities. And so now you have a situation where you kind of have a winner and a loser, right? You had a group of organizations that really wanted Pacific Source in here, and another group of healthcare organizations that really didn't want Pacific Source to run the CCO here. And we have to figure out a way to bring everybody together, because at the end of the day, this isn't about who's running the CCO, who's not running the CCO. It's really about providing healthcare to the people of Marion and Polk counties. And so from my perspective, you know, we just wrote a letter to Pacific Source, all three of us on the Marion County Commission, saying, hey, let's pull in some of the groups that have felt like they haven't been a part of this, and really bring people together to make sure that folks here in Marion County are getting the healthcare that they need.
Now, before we go on, why is the state subletting that out? Why aren't they doing it? It's the Oregon Health Plan. Why isn't the state running that? Why are they outsourcing it?
Well, this goes back to that conversation we had earlier, where from their perspective, this is a better way to provide Medicaid, right?
But if that's true, though, then they shouldn't have They should get rid of all those, like Brent said, get rid of all those jobs that are supposed to be doing the job.
Sure. Sure.
Why didn't they do that? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't been a part of this conversation.
He's going to have to spend some time in the legislature.
Yes, he would.
Have done that. Yeah. All right. We're going to have to take a break. Colin Willis is our guest, Marion County Commissioner, the rookie commissioner. He's finishing up his first year.
He doesn't sound so rookie.
I know. He's been very hard at work. He's working in healthcare. He's working on the homeless. He's working in economic development. So many things. We're going to continue our conversation right after this. I do have one thing for you, Commissioner Colin Willis. That is shocking, folks. It's just unbelievable happening with the delivery of health care. Stick with us. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brant DeHart with Dave Bourne and our guest today, Marion County Commissioner Colin Willis. Thanks for being with us today. We're talking a lot about healthcare and how it's delivered and why is this important to me, you know, and you, people who maybe have private insurance, because this is how they're spending our taxpayer dollars. This is part of the national conversation. This is all interconnected when they talk about saving Medicaid or saving Medicare and the way that the federal government administers healthcare for people that need it. Especially in Medicaid, of course, is a social program. Mm-hmm. Medicare is an entitlement program. The distinction being we all get Medicare if we're lucky enough to live to 65. But Medicaid, you have to be of low income, and it is a social program. However, then it goes to the states, and the state gets money from the feds, and now the state of Oregon and the health authority has selected a community care organization to take care of Marion and Polk County for the coordination of care. And there's some good goals around it. So if somebody has multiple issues, and there's some people close to me who are on Medicaid and participating in the Oregon Health Plan, the administration of which, I will tell you, has been very frustrating.
Sure.
Very frustrating and inconsistent. Sometimes bang your head against a brick wall, kind of frustrating. Yeah. But there is a goal at least that, well, this person needs, you know, three or four different services, and let's coordinate that care. Right. Let's not just treat this one thing and send them to this person and so forth. So I can see some reasons where it's going to be helpful to bring more wrap around health services to the people on the Oregon Health Plan here in Marion and Polk counties. The transition now that we've selected a new CCO. Do you expect that to be volatile? Do you expect it to be smooth? Will the people who are on the plans really see a lot of upheaval and confusion, or do you think it'll go pretty well?
That's to be seen. You know, I've been advocating very strongly that we make sure that it's as smooth as possible. Now that Oregon Health Plan has made their decision as to what they're doing, I want to make sure that our people don't get hurt or that we're able to minimize that pain as much as possible. We'll see. You know, it sort of depends on how the contracting goes. I know that the new CCO is working with providers in the area to try to get contracts that work for both the provider and the CCO. If they're not able to do that, you could have a situation where some folks might not be able to stay with the doctor that they've seen for primary care in the past. I know that Pacific Source is trying hard to get those contracts done so that that's not the case. And I can tell you in every meeting, that's something that I bring up, you know, because it's a concern of mine.
It is a big concern. I will tell you with some firsthand knowledge, it's a big concern in terms of continuity of relationship.
Sure.
And especially in complicated cases where people are, you know, challenging to treat and they're on Medicaid, which means they're very, very low income. To have that kind of, well, you can't get a new appointment yet, or we don't understand your case, and we're going to start from ground zero. Those things can be very, very troubling.
Well, so. I think in the last 12 years, I've been forced to get a new doctor because of the changes in plans.
Yeah, and that's no fun. Huh?
And it's not fun, you know. One of them did retire, to be honest, but a couple of them, it was like, okay, you can't see that doctor anymore because they're not part of that plan anymore. And I was like, I've been seeing that person for 10 years, and now I got to find another one?
Yeah.
That's not fun.
No, not at all.
And the nerve of that person to retire when well, you're still alive. And you need
I forgive that person, but not the insurance thing.
All right, so Commissioner, let's talk about the homeless a little bit and how the efforts here in our community intersect. And we do a lot of things that are combined with Marion and Polk County and and collaboration. Is this one of theirs? And you're talking about before the show a continuation of care.
Yeah, so we have the Mid-Willamette Homeless Initiative. It was started by Commissioner Janet Carlson, who I replaced on the Marion County Commission. And it's a partnership with a number of different municipalities, the City of Salem, City of Independence, and Monmouth. Polk County's now involved in it. And what we, you know, that was, what that organization did was basically take a look at all the resources that are available to folks who are homeless in the community and try to decide, are those resources being spent wisely? Are we actually making progress on reducing homelessness in our community? And one of the things that they discovered was that we're part of what's called a continuum of care that includes 26 counties. It's called a balance of state. And what this is it's an organization that receives money from HUD back east in Washington, D.C. So
Housing and Urban Development
gives money to every community to address homelessness in their community. Well, the issue that we had was we were part of a 26-county continuum of care. So you can imagine how hard it is to marshal resources to address homelessness in your community if you're trying to negotiate with, you know, Far Eastern Oregon, Malheur County, and say, hey, you know, what are you guys doing about homelessness? Well, their needs are totally different than ours, right? So one of the things we realized was we need to have a continuum of care that's just focused on Marion and Polk counties. And so we're moving in that direction. We have a development council that's made up of a wide variety of folks in our community, including the school district and Union Gospel Mission, and just a really good group of people. I feel like we have a really good, I don't know what you want to call it, spirit in the group, and we're really moving forward. People are collaborative. They're working well together, and are realists, you know? I mean, I would say my view on these things is I believe in the golden rule and the iron rule, you know? And the golden rule is do to others what you'd like them to do to yourself, and the iron rule is don't do for other people what they can and should do for themselves. And I feel like these two rules really respect the dignity of every person, you know? When you start doing things that people can do for themselves, in a way you take away their dignity, right? And if you don't treat people the way you'd like to be treated, you also take away their dignity. So I feel like we have a really good group. The mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett's in that group, and he's providing great leadership. And so I'm hopeful, you know. Here in Marion County, one of the programs that we're bringing to the table that's really been effective is our LEAD, Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion Program. And they now have helped close to 40 people get off the streets, get into housing, get treatment if they're addicted to opiates or other substances. I know the City of Salem has had a lot of success with their HRAP program and getting
150 people.
So I feel like there's real kind of clear-eyed focus on this issue and getting people the care that they need, but also, you know, making sure that people who are damaging our community or doing things they shouldn't be doing aren't allowed to do that.
So let me ask you a challenging question here. You got all these people meeting, all those different jurisdictions and things, and you feel as though people are a great spirit, collaborative, trying to find solutions. Moving forward is the phrase you used.
Yeah.
Should we be confident that you're just not a bunch of people that are meeting?
So this is something that I said to one of our facilitators. So Janet Carlson is actually helping us, and she has another gal, Jan, who's helping us as well. Jan Calvin, and Jan took me aside and said, hey, you know, what do you want to see come out of this? And I said, Jan, you know what I want to see? I want to see us make tangible progress for the voters in Marion County. I want the voters in Marion County to see our work and say they accomplished this. They lowered the number of people on our streets. They reduced homelessness in our community. My greatest fear is that we have these meetings and the voters say, so what? So I can tell you that's something that I'm absolutely eagle-eye focused on. I think I was telling you guys at the break, you know, I have a number of meetings that I go to every day. The number of minutes that I review is more than I ever thought I would be reviewing in my life. And I do not want one more meeting that's just a waste of time. And part of the reason I'm excited about this is I do feel like you have people who are providing real experience in addressing homelessness in the meetings, talking about real practical issues and how we overcome those hurdles. You know, the City of Salem with their HRAP program, us with our LEAD program, you know, we've actually shown success in getting nearly 200 people off the streets. That's real experience that we can rely on in moving the needle forward and reducing homelessness in our community.
So they're not just meeting, they're taking action, and they are anticipating results and feel obligated to actually create those results.
That's right.
Good for you.
All right. County Commissioner Colin Willis is our guest here. We're going to take one last break and come back. We're going to talk to him. He's talking about all of these meetings and what it's like to be a county commissioner and how a little bit different than he anticipated. We're going to come back and talk about which things are really appealing to him and which not. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430. KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. A fabulous Monday it is. The rains are coming, but what a great weekend we had in the Mid-Willamette Valley.
Did you just say rain?
The rain is coming, isn't it? Yeah, the rains are coming.
Man.
But
it's all right. It's fall. We
had an incredible fall weekend with a victory by the Golden Bears. They lost to the Ducks.
They lost.
They put up a good show. A better
Oregon
show than
State
I thought.
Won, though. Huh?
Oregon State
hey,
won.
Hey, go Beavers.
Suddenly yeah, we
that
want,
was a good game.
Suddenly we want portions of the Stanford game back, too. Suddenly like, you can beat UCLA and you can almost beat Stanford, but Stanford can beat Washington, we learned.
Yes.
So there's no telling. County Commissioner Colin Willis joins us. He's going to join in our sports talk segment. In
right.
Terms of,
I'd be happy to.
You know, it was one really interesting thing.
Do you have time
thing.
For that?
Well,
it's just another meeting. He doesn't have to make any decisions here. Doesn't
that's
have to
true.
Move that forward.
That's a benefit.
All commenting.
We're going to finish our hour talking about meetings and minutes and decisions. But interesting thing having to do with the Ducks and the Beavers in the Pac-12 in general is that I saw a statistic this week that the average margin of victory in a conference game in the Pac-12 is like 8 points. Mm. It's the lowest of the Power Five. So the other conferences are more lopsided, and the Pac-12 is more competitive amongst each other.
Which makes for better games.
Which makes for better games.
There you go.
Go Pac-12. Colin Willis. So we're talking about minutes and what you're interested in, what bores you to tears. So we want it out. We want staff is all listening. The entire staff of Marin County is listening right now. But tell them which meeting you would like to go the rest of your life without ever attending again.
Oh, man. I'm not sure I can say that. I
mean, yes, you can.
I feel like every...
Nobody's listening to you.
Well, everyone's listening to me. Here's the issue. The issue is we do so much for the people of Marion County, and so there's a number of things. It's like any job, right? My dad used to say if it was real fun, they would charge admission. So there's some things that you know, they pay you for because it's work, but the question is it necessary work? And you know, most of the work that we do is necessary. You know, yeah. If your garbage doesn't get picked up, that's a big problem for you. Yeah. If, you know, your sheriff's office doesn't work, your jail doesn't work, that's a big problem for you. Now I'm actually interested in both those subjects. But, you know, it just runs the gamut. Obviously, healthcare, I'm interested in that as well.
There's so much to learn in that avenue.
Yeah. So it would be hard for me to say, like, oh, these subjects are, I hate them. I think it's more... I like efficient meetings. I like meetings where we're on topic, we're on time, we're moving the ball forward. I think sometimes you can get into some of these bigger, I'm not in a lot of them, but sometimes you get these bigger multi-jurisdictional meetings where you have like 20 or 30 board members, and it's really hard to actually accomplish anything as a board member, right? Because there's just so many people involved. There's so many cooks in the kitchen. So I really like the smaller boards where you know, you can really wrestle with the issues. And it's more like a work session where you're bouncing ideas off each other and really kind of getting into the meat of the issue.
There's some meetings that you have to go to get a foundational understanding, and so they're educational more than, because I think you and I both would prefer a meeting in which action is taken, decisions are made.
Yep.
I got told I'm involved in a community ad hoc community group, and I got told by some people who are very busy, say, don't call a meeting unless we need to make decisions or take some action.
Right.
And I think
I like that.
That's a good rule to live by. And if you're, if you got 30 people and it's hard to direct that. I particularly like the meetings where staff takes a third of the meeting to say what process has happened from initiation of this idea up till now.
Oh,
back in 2011, a motion was made, blah, 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 which formed a committee. And then we had an ad hoc group. And then we did stakeholder this and that. And here's a graph of how many people said what. And then, you know, just 8 years of recap later. And just to tell you that.
And Colin's looking at his watch going, I got to go.
So you joined requested and joined the board of SEDCOR, our Economic Development Corporation. Yeah. And that was interesting to me. One, I'm on the board of SEDCOR and have been on the executive council in the past. And two, you have another county commissioner. It's already on SEDCOR. And I know a lot of guys are dividing you gentlemen mm-hmm. who are serving as commissioners, divide up some roles. Like usually there's one of you that chairs the Marion County Public Safety Coordinating Council, mm-hmm. right? And you'll rotate that role. It's better. But now we've got two on SEDCOR. So that was a personal initiative. Tell mm-hmm. us about that.
So I think, and I forget the bylaws, but I think the bylaws have two positions for Marion County on SEDCOR. So I think that was in the bylaws, and for whatever reason, we hadn't had two commissioners on there before. You know, a lot of the issues that we deal it with as a group, and I found it to be really beneficial to have Commissioner Cameron and Commissioner Brentano's perspective because we bring different perspectives. I'm a business attorney, so I'm always, you know, my question is always, you know, in this negotiation, who has negotiating position and, you know, who's going to get sued if this goes bad, that sort of thing. Commissioner Cameron is a business guy, so he's always like, how much money is at stake? How much is it going to cost us? You know,
what's the return on investment?
What's the return on investment? You know, Commissioner Brentano is related to most of Marion County. And so he's like, how's this going to affect our people? You know, are my people going to get hurt, you know, if we do this? So it's really a good collaborative thing. But usually what happens is it's more of who's going to do sort of the extra effort to educate the board on an issue. And so in the case of public safety, for instance, Commissioner Cameron is doing the extra effort. You know, when it comes to economic development, it's just super important for the people of Marion County. And so I feel like I have an obligation to educate myself and try to move the ball forward when it comes to providing jobs and economic development here in Marion County.
And you have an economic development staff, and you have money that come in. A lot of people don't realize that the county does get funds out of the Oregon Lottery. It does good things.
Mm-hmm.
They get some of those lottery funds allocated to you, and you're obligated to spend it on what's best for economic development in the region.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kudos to you. I asked the question because I want kudos to you for stepping in and saying, I want to learn more about economic development. I want to be at the table when it's discussed.
Yeah.
That is awesome. We've been talking to Colum Willis, Marion County Commissioner, took office in January this year, and he's in his first year. We'll have you back in a few months.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate the work you're doing, how hard you're working. Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us here on Newsmakers with Brent and Dave. We'll do this again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.